Father, I thank you once more for just the incredible opportunity you've given to us to share your word. We're going to learn something about you today. It's going to bring us, I pray, into just a little bit deeper relationship with you, a little bit more of an understanding of who you really are and what you really mean in our lives and how you desire to be so involved in our lives, in the decisions that we make that really govern our lives. If we can see who you are, we'll be so much better off. We pray, God, that you will bless the hearing of your word to all who will hear it today. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Amen. In your Bibles, if you turn to John's Gospel, chapter 10, we know that doors are extremely important and that undoubtedly you have walked through some very important doors in your life. Maybe perhaps it was the first door you walked through that was you felt was of an importance was maybe a door to a classroom where you began your high school or your college career, or the first door you walked through when you went to your first job and you were hopeful that you were become trained to do what you were going to do in your life, your life's vocation. And that door often marks the beginning of a person's adulthood. It marks the beginning. It steers them in directions in their life towards their friendships and their loyalties and their knowledge and ambitions, and it will take them into life for decades to come. Another door that many of you have walked through is a door to a church. When you walk down the aisle and you made a commitment to someone to love, honor, and cherish them for the rest of your life. And marriage is a door. Marriage is the door that brings two worlds together. It really, really is. And for there are many who have begun their own families, and when you begin your own family, a piece of your legacy as a person is in the children that you're raising or you have raised, and that's a personal legacy from you. Another door that we may walk through is a door to change. You walk out of the door of your last day at a job, or you walk through the door of a lawyer's office to end a marriage, or you walk through the door on an airplane to begin a new career somewhere, maybe in another city. And doors can mark both stops and starts in our lives. And doors are extremely important. Doors don't just determine destination, they determine destiny in our lives. And so I want to talk to you today about the single most important door that I have ever walked through. And I believe it's the most important door that anyone will ever decide whether to walk through or not. And it's a door that doesn't have any hinges, doesn't have any knobs, any locks, doesn't swing out or in. This door is a person named Jesus Christ. And I've told you repeatedly in the last couple of weeks that people are constantly trying to find three doors in their life. They're trying to find the door to security. They're trying to find a door to significance. They're trying to find a door to satisfaction. They're trying to find a door to security, be it physical security, emotional security, financial security, spiritual security. People are looking for the door of significance. They want to know that their life counts. They want to know that their life matters to someone. It's important. They're looking for the door to satisfaction. They want to be content. They want to be at peace. They want to be happy. I'm convinced that the vast majority of people go through life and never find their door, the door to security or significance or satisfaction. And I read a quote from a psychologist at UCLA, Dr. James Coleman, and he said this, and I quote, "As the modern day person struggles with the baffling question of his own existence, science falls short of providing full answers. It can tell how, but not why." And then he made this observation. Despite their fine automobiles and well-stocked refrigerators and all and other material possessions and comforts, the meaning of life seems to be evading them. In essence, they are suffering from existential anxiety, deep concern about finding values which enable them to life-satisfying, fulfilling, meaningful, and significant lives. In other words, what Dr. Coleman said was people go through life trying to find the doors to security, significance, and satisfaction, but they never find it. They never find it. So this morning, I just want to ask everyone that's listening, wherever you're listening, to be honest with yourself. Are you secure? Do you really feel secure? Secure in who you are? Secure in what you have? Secure in where you're going? Do you feel significant? Do you think you are giving yourself to things that really matter and make a difference? Do you think you have found the real purpose, your real purpose on this planet? Are you content? Are you satisfied? Is there a settled peace in your heart when you go to bed at night and when you get up in the morning that you are who you need to be and you are where you need to be and you're doing what you need to be doing? These are heavy questions. If you're one of the many people who will be honest enough and maybe even transparent enough to say, no, I'm really not. But if you are someone who can say, yes, I am, I have some words for you at the end of this message. But if you're here and you say, well, you know, I'm really not sure, I really don't know, then there are four words that Jesus wants to say to you that you need to hear today. And the four words are found in John chapter 10, verse 9. And they are four words: I am the door. But it's what Jesus said before and after that statement that ought to make some of us really sit up and take notice. What did he say before it and after it? Look at what he says in John chapter 10, verse 7 through 9. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. What a word. Now the crowd that was listening to him mainly were common people, and they would have immediately understood exactly what Jesus was saying, but we don't. Because we're not in that culture. We don't. So let me try to explain to you what Jesus was saying to that people and is saying to us today. In Israel, there are two kinds of sheepfolds. There was one that would be near a village or near a town, and it was an enclosure for the sheep of all the shepherds. Okay? The owners of the sheep would pool the resources together and hire someone to guard the sheep. And he would only let those shepherds whom he knew come in and receive their sheep. And I remember studying Psalms 23, and when especially when a part in the scripture when Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And when I this is a little sidebar, because I can picture this. You know, there's a bunch of shepherds that bring their sheep in near a town, and they all put their sheep in this pen, the sheepfold, and they go into town for a little R&R, and they hire someone to watch their sheep. But then I thought, what did Jesus mean when he says, my sheep know my voice? Can you imagine, okay, I go to this sheepfold, and I call my sheep. And Pastor Tony goes in the sheepfold, and he calls his sheep. How the heck do the sheep know who's calling them? Because my sheep will know my voice. And his sheep will know his voice. And Ron's sheep will know his voice. Isn't that amazing? And that's true. That is what happens around villages. That's one kind of sheepfold. That's what Jesus meant when he says, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger, they will not follow. So that's one kind. The other kind of sheepfold was out on the hills, away from the village. It was a walled enclosure on three sides. They would put rocks around an enclosure, maybe about a foot high or so, no roof on it. And then there would be an opening about 5 or 6 feet wide where the shepherd, where the sheep would go in and out from this one opening. And the shepherd would lie down in front of that opening, literally becoming the door to the sheep. And nothing could go in or out unless the shepherd allowed it. Okay, you see where this is going? As the door, the shepherd gave the sheep the same three things that every one of us are looking for. He gave the sheep security. The sheep knew that they were safe as long as the shepherd was lying across the entranceway. He gave them significance. They knew that they mattered to the shepherd, and the shepherd cared for them. And he gave them satisfaction because he gave them the only two things that they needed to survive, grass and water. Okay? Now, one of Jesus' favorite ways to teach was to take some common, ordinary object that people encountered in everyday life and compare himself to that. He would take an earthly object and give it a divine meaning. He actually did it 7 times, all recorded in the Gospel of John. We've been going over this for the last couple weeks. There should be no, so that he did it so that there would be no mistake as to exactly who he was. 7 times Jesus identifies himself through metaphors, okay? 2 weeks ago, we learned that he is the bread of life, that he is the one that can satisfy every hunger and every thirst that we have. Last week, we learned that he is the light of the world, that when you're in a dark place in your life, he is the light that can guide you out of the darkness. And today, he compares himself to something that we all encounter all the time, and he does that. It's a door. It's a door. Why in the world would Jesus refer to himself as a door? If you think about it, there's only one of two things you can do with a door. You can either open it from the outside and walk into a room, or you can open it from the inside and walk out of a room. That's the only thing you can do with a door. A door is basically either it's an exit or it's an entrance. Anytime you walk through a door, you automatically enter into one place and exit to another place. So your key verse that I put, your key thing in your notes is this: through Jesus, you exit a meaningless life, and you enter a meaningful life, okay? And that's what we're going to learn today. So number one, let's look at number one. Through Jesus, you can walk through the door of security. You can walk through the door of security. When Jesus says, I am the door, and every single day, over 6 billion people on this planet choose to walk through doors, doors of marriage, doors of school, doors of jobs, doors of spending money, doors of having children, doors of getting divorces. And all those doors carry risk. The risk of marrying the wrong person. The risk of going to the wrong school. The risk of taking the wrong job. Your life to this moment is simply the sum of all the doors that you have chosen to walk through in your life. If you're single, it's because you have chosen, for whatever reason, not to walk through the door of marriage. Or no one has chosen to walk through that door with you. If you're married, the person you're married to is the result of the decision to walk through that door, through that person's door, rather than someone else's. And on the other hand, there are other doors where young people and old people alike who are going to spend the rest of their lives behind bars because they walked through the wrong doors. There are people today that are in miserable marriages because they walked through the wrong doors. And like many pastors, Pastor Tony gets calls, letters, emails, whatever, of couples and people that are going through in their lives and their position. They're losing their marriage because they walk through the wrong doors and they're hurting. Just like Kathy says, people are hurting in the body of Christ also. There's nothing more heartbreaking than to walk through what you thought was the right door, only to find out that it was the wrong door, that it was the dangerous door, that it was a door that it was delusionment that you were involved in. It was the job of the shepherd to make sure that the sheep felt secure. When night came, that's when the wolves and the robbers came out to eat or to steal the sheep. And the sheep could only rest if they knew that their shepherd was lying there in the front, protecting them, even with his very life. Remember David, the shepherd? What did he fight against when he fought against when his sheep? He said he killed a bear. I'd like to see someone try to kill a bear. He killed a lion. You know what? I learned this not too long ago. Goliath didn't have a chance. He really didn't. Because David was such a marksman with his sling. You kill a bear with a stone? You kill a lion with a stone? I don't care how big Goliath was. He didn't stand a chance. So he protected the sheep. That's what Jesus means when he says in verse 9, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out. We know a timid, a frightened sheep would stay in the fold day and night and never go out to eat in the pasture chosen by the shepherd because he'd be too afraid to do it. And then a careless, overconfident sheep would remain in the pasture all day long, never to come back in the fold, ignoring all the danger. The job of the shepherd was to make sure that the sheep knew it was safe to come in and safe to go out. That is why every person on this planet needs the door of Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can make it safe for us to go in and out of the daily doors of life. Okay? How many people today are in abusive relationships because they walked through the wrong door? They either didn't know God, or they didn't consult God, or they just disobeyed God and entered into a relationship knowing it was wrong and walking through a door that they knew they should not have walked through. And people do it all the time. And maybe you're sitting here today, or maybe you're listening to this today and you're saying, that's me. Or I come awful close to that. I've walked through this wrong door, or I've walked through that wrong door. Well, I've got good news for you. It is never, ever too late to exit the wrong door and walk through the right door. It's never too late. All right? Amen. That's the truth. Listen to what the words of Jesus said in verse 9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. In other words, the door is open. The door is always open. It stays open all the time. You can walk through the door of security anytime you want to, knowing that Jesus himself will protect you and will provide for you. That's his promise. All right? Security. Number two, through Jesus, you can walk through the door of significance. You can walk through the door of significance. Remember when I told you that you walk through a door, only two things can happen. Either you exit from one room and you enter another room. Jesus is telling us when you come to him, whether you come as a first-time believer or you come as a long-time follower, you exit a life of frustration and you enter into a life of fulfillment. You exit a life of meaninglessness and you enter into a life of meaningfulness. There's a difference. That's what Jesus meant when he said down a little further in verse 10, and he said, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. The thief is all the wrong doors that you choose to walk through, that you could walk through. If you walk through the wrong door of greed, of lust, of jealousy, of selfishness, it will suck the joy out of your life. It will rob you of the significance, and it will leave you totally unsatisfied. When you walk through the door named Jesus, everything changes. That's why he goes on to say, he says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He says, but I come. But I came, in the latter half of verse 10, I came that you might have, what? Life. And have it more abundantly. Some versions say abundantly. I like when it puts the word more. I like that word more abundantly. I came, Jesus said, so that not only you have life, anybody can have life, but I want you to have more abundant life, real life. Did you notice how Jesus makes the difference between ordinary life and abundant life? And I thought about something. I said, well, I don't think it's going to go over too good with some people, but I'm going to say it anyway. One of my all-time favorite movies is a movie called Braveheart. And whether you like it or not, that's just your opinion, whatever. But I like the movie Braveheart. And William Wallace was the hero of that movie. And Pastor Tony, you probably remember this line. But he gave this great line in this movie. He said, every man dies, but not every man lives. And I want to tell you something. You haven't lived until you met Jesus Christ and surrendered to Jesus and trusted Jesus and loved Jesus and made Jesus your very life, you have not lived, really lived. That's what William Wallace was saying. That's what Jesus Christ is saying. Forget about William Wallace. The same thing when a little boy whose daddy was going off to war, and he was concerned about his daddy's safety, and he wrote his daddy a letter. This is so beautiful. He said this, dear daddy, I love you, and I hope you will live all of your life. That's exactly what God wants for you. He gives you life so that you will truly live your life. You were put here by God to live for God. Listen, there is no significance, there is no importance to life apart from Jesus Christ. It is only when you realize that you are here for Jesus, for His glory, for His honor, and to find His purpose for your life and to fulfill it, and to find His will for your life and do it, that you will find life of significance and a life of importance. You were created by Him and for Him. For His good pleasure, you are and were created, the Scripture says. Amen? Number three, through Jesus, you walk through the door of satisfaction. Satisfaction. You know, it doesn't take a lot to satisfy sheep. It really doesn't. They are one of the simplest and easiest creatures to care for. Give them good grass to eat and good water from Kevin Beckloff to drink. I think that was in the scripture somewhere, Kevin. I'm not sure where it was. But you give sheep good grass, good water, and you will have a very satisfied, happy sheep. So what I want you to do, take your Bible and go like this. Baa, baa. Did anybody do it? Anybody as nuts as I? All right, thank you, Jeannie. All right. See, people that were listening to Jesus would have understood completely what he meant exactly when he said, they will, in verse 9, they will go out and they will go in and out and find pasture. They knew exactly what he meant. Every morning, the shepherd would take the sheep out of the fold, lead them to green pastures where they could eat, drink, and they can rest. And then in the evening, the shepherd would lead the flock back into the fold, and he would give each of them a cool drink of water. And as they passed by them, and he would give them the water, and he would look at the sheep and see if they cut themselves or they had any bugs on them or insects on them, because the insects flew around their legs. And then he would anoint them. He would put medication on. Usually it was oil. It was probably oil all the time. He would anoint them with oil. So he would check the sheep and see if they had any thorns or burrs on them, and he would clean their coat. In other words, his job was to make sure that the sheep were satisfied when they went out, and that they were satisfied when they went down for the night. Amen? That was the job of the shepherd. Remember that in Palestine, for the most part, it was a very barren land. Good pasture and clean water was not easy to find. It was the job of the shepherds to make the sheep lie down in green pastures, lead them beside still waters, And we're going to talk a lot about that next week. The good shepherd knows exactly what the sheep needs and gives it to them when they need it. He gives them what they need when they need it, so they won't need anything else. Don't miss next week, because you know what the I am is next week, don't you? Yeah. Talking about a shepherd. We're going to continue talking about it. You know what's amazing to me? When you find the right door and you walk through it, you don't want to walk through any other door. You really don't. And I thought about that. It was over 40 years ago. Kathy and I walked through the doors of this church. We did. And we knew that this would be the last church that we would open the door to. Isn't that right? And that's the truth. When I opened the door to Jesus Christ, I knew I had found my Lord and my Savior, that I would never, ever want to worship or serve or love or obey or trust anyone else once the door was open. You see, some people have other dreams. You know, they dream of walking through important doors, and maybe they dream one day I might walk through the door of the Oval Office, meet the President of the United States. Or maybe they, you know, maybe someone's dream is, I want to walk through the door of the lottery office, you know, with the winning ticket or whatever. I don't know, whatever, you know. But the most important door that I've ever walked through, and the most important door that you will ever walk through, is the door named Jesus. Amen? I want to tell you a story as we close, as the worship team comes up. I've ordered this book already, because when I was doing some research about 9/11, I came across parts of this book that I'm going to tell you about that I want to learn more about. It's one of the most stimulating, gripping, inspiring, and probably the most depressing book that I'll ever read. It's called 102 Minutes. That's the name of the book. 102 Minutes, the untold story of the fight to survive inside the Twin Towers. It's an up-close, moment-by-moment account of the heroic struggle for life inside the World Trade Center on the morning of September 11th. And when I was doing research on September 11th, I came across these paragraphs. I said, I have to read this. I called Barnes & Noble. I ordered the book. I learned that there was 14,000 people that were inside the Twin Towers on that morning. 12,000 were able to escape, but almost 2,800 people were not able to escape. The book details how some of the people lived and how some of the people died. In many instances, whether they lived or died, depended on one decision that they made, which door they would take. And the book recounts the story of one group of people who were trying to decide the best way out of the building, and most of the people in that group decided to take the door to the elevator. And the other group of people decided to take the door to the stairwell. The group that took the door to the elevator died. The group that took the door to the stairwell lived. There were two doors in which they could take. One represented death and one represented life. Because life really is all about making sure that you choose the right door. So let me close with this. You know a door represents separation, because you are either on one side of the door, you're on the inside looking out, or you're on the other side of the door, on the outside looking in. If you're on the outside looking in, I encourage you today to open the door of Jesus Christ and walk into the only life that is worth living. If you are on the inside of the door looking out, the one that I said you didn't say you'd had, you know, you are secure, You feel secure. You know where you're going. You know that your life matters. You found real purpose and that what you're on this planet for. You're content. You're satisfied. You have a settled peace in your heart. If that's you, then I encourage you to invite as many people as you can to join you in the door that you have taken as well. And if you're not doing that, then you're not doing what God has called you to do. He didn't save you just to save you. He saved you so that you can tell your story to other people. And that's how the gospel gets spread. That's how it was spread all over the world. We are the example. We are the ones. We are the living epistles of Jesus Christ. If he saved you and you're satisfied and you know it, then share it. Yes. Don't hold it to yourself. Amen? Yes.